Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I'm so pleased to have you here. And I want to welcome and thank all of the new subscribers to the show. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It's absolutely my highest intention twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays to bring you content that is going to be transformational for you in your private practice, whether you're a solo practitioner or you have a group private practice, the intention is the same. So I hope that you get a lot out of it. You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was a dominant belief in the industry around mental health and wellness. So it's really relevant, I think, to psychologists and counselors and social workers and mental health coaches and anybody sort of working in that space. And the belief is, you know, if it's not evidence-based, then it's not effective and you shouldn't use it, or you're not allowed to use it, and things like that. And so I just thought maybe we would unpack that a little bit today. Now, I can absolutely understand why there is a belief that if it's not evidence-based, it's no good and it's not effective. But here's the thing. If it were true that evidence-based approaches get better outcomes, then we would see that all of the clients that had evidence-based interventions, like CBT, for example, for anxiety and depression, would have improvements in their mental health symptoms. And we know that's not the case. And so I think what happens is sometimes we listen to, you know, the dominant beliefs of our industry, and we tend to, because we hear them a lot and a lot and a lot, they become thoughts for us. And then over time, those thoughts move into our subconscious mind and become our beliefs. And, you know, when we're operating from our beliefs, it's very, very difficult to see other things that might be available to us in our private practice. But if you think about all of the successful private practitioners or private practice owners, perhaps, you will know that they've all got one thing in common, and that thing is the therapeutic relationship. Now, I know some of you have heard about this before. In fact, probably all of you have heard about this before, but for some reason, it's been dismissed from your mind, and it's been put down low on the rankings of priority for you in the way that you work. But here's the thing. The research shows consistently, and has done for decades, that above and beyond the therapeutic approaches is that collaborative reliance. It's the relationship between two people. And so, you know, I guess what we should talk about today then is, from the perspective of a soul-led private practice owner or a soul-led practitioner, the relationship that we have with somebody has to be the most important thing that we cultivate and that we focus on and that we measure in the practice, because we know that that's where we're going to be most effective. Okay, so different research speaks about the therapeutic alliance in different terms. Some will say therapeutic alliance, others will say working collaboration, others will say helping relationship, things like that. Okay, but essentially, from a soul-based perspective, what we're speaking to here is that bond between a practitioner and their client, right? And it's the depth of that bond that can really influence the outcome of the relationship that you share together. So there are three parts of a therapeutic relationship. There's what you bring to it as a practitioner, there's what the client brings to it as the client, and then the third part of that triangle, if you like, is the relationship itself. The relationship is separate. Okay, so we can do work on ourselves as practitioners and make sure that we're operating in alignment and all those beautiful things that we love to do. The client has whatever they're bringing along to the relationship, the things that are bothering them, worrying them, they want to change, talk about. But then this third aspect is the relationship itself. And I think what can happen is sometimes if we're only focused on the evidence-based approach and we're using the CBT manual, for example, and I'm just referring to CBT here because it's what I did my PhD in, and I was one of those people that made a manual, which of course, you know, I'm regretting doing that now because it's no longer something, sorry, squeaky chair, because it's no longer something I subscribe to. But anyway, I did at the time, so that's all fine. But we need to understand that it's richer than the manual. It's richer than a one-size-fits-all approach. It's richer than formulaic approaches to therapy for our clients. There's absolutely this other layer. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the approach and less caught up or less focused on the relationship. But, you know, how do we create that bond or that connection in a way that honors your soul, that honors their soul, that works with your purpose, that anchors into your purpose? And I guess the first thing to do is recognize the value and the importance of having that relationship in the first place, okay? From there, I guess it's really important to think about why you became a practitioner and really think about that honestly, and go back to why it was important to you to follow the career path that you did. I mean, there was a reason you became a counselor or a social worker or a physio or a chiro or a spiritual healer or something. There was a real reason behind that. And sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day of running our practices and we forget to think back to why we started. And then I want you to have a reflection about why you want to work with clients and how you want to help them and the transformations that you want to support them in achieving for themselves, okay? So second part. I think the third part would absolutely be something like, you know, asking yourself if you have a daily spiritual practice that's in place that you use to help cultivate or nourish those relationships that you have with your clients. Okay, and I'm not talking here about being friends with your clients and going out for coffee and cake. It's not about that. It's about cultivating, of course, a professional relationship, but in a way that anchors into your purpose and aligns with that, okay? And it does for your client as well. So if you don't have a daily spiritual practice that's going to help you anchor into cultivating that relationship, now might be a time for you to start thinking about how you could do that and what that might look like for you. Some people might do a little ritual in the morning when they get to the practice or when they first start work. Others might do something in between sessions. Others might do something in the session with a client. I mean, you might like to, you know, just say to a client right when they come in and they sit down, or, you know, you're on Zoom and you're about to start, you might just ask them a simple question like, you know, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling, you know, before we start, you know, are you feeling grounded? And ask them if they're feeling grounded, and, you know, they'll say yes or no. And if they're not, maybe walk them through a quick grounding exercise and help anchor them back into the moment. And this is a way you work on that relationship, by helping them have that safe space where you've got them, you know. That can be something that you can try. Or you might do something in the session at the very end, you know, to wrap up. It might be a breathing activity that you both do together, but it's something to maybe open and close the session. There are so many variations, but have a think about what you could do that would, you know, create that daily spiritual practice for yourself that's going to set up that safe container of space to hold that relationship for you and your client, okay? It's for both of you. Remember, the relationship is the third part of that triad. The next step would be really to have space regularly. So you don't have to do this every day, but it might be something in the beginning that you want to do maybe on the weekends, regularly for a little while until you sort of get the hang of it. But create some time for yourself for self-reflection and really think about all kinds of things. Like, what does the therapeutic relationship mean to you? How do you think you've been going in terms of nurturing and cultivating those? Where do you think you've been doing it well? Where do you think there's room for improvement? What have you noticed about the relationship that you're having with clients now that you are paying more attention to the quality of the relationship or the bond that you have with them, right? Have you noticed a shift in the atmosphere? Have you noticed an improvement in their outcomes? Have you noticed observations in the session? Like, maybe they're looking less tense. Maybe they're opening up a little bit more. Reflect on how you feel the practice is benefiting or the relationships are benefiting now that you're putting more of a focus on that relationship. And then I think, you know, we just need to understand that building and cultivating that therapeutic alliance from this type of spiritual practice can absolutely be one of the most rewarding experiences, not only for you and not only for your practice, but for your clients as well. And why wouldn't you want that for your clients? Regardless of the title that you have at the moment, you are a healer. You are a facilitator of somebody's health and well-being. You're a facilitator of them on their journey. And so when you focus on that relationship, everything can be so expansive and it can really just deepen the types of outcomes and results that you can both experience. Some questions that you might want to ask yourself when you're reflecting on the therapeutic alliance would be, you know, how am I showing up in my practice? In what ways am I actively cultivating that beautiful alliance with all of my clients? Are there any clients that I'm not actively and consciously and intentionally cultivating that relationship with? And why might that be? See what comes up for you. It's okay for you to be honest with yourself. Nobody's going to see your journaling reflections. This is just simply an exercise for you. But you might find that there's, you know, a client here or a client over there that for some reason, perhaps there's a block in terms of how you want to develop that relationship or what you want that relationship to look like. And that's really important work for you to do. And depending on what comes up for you, you might then want to discuss that in your next supervision session or in your next coaching session or in your next mentoring session with your support person, okay? Because this is how you grow and how you expand, yeah? Okay, and then the last one would be, what could you do differently to create that safe container for your clients and to really honor that relationship that you have with them? Now, it doesn't have to be anything big. It might just be something small. It might be a gratitude practice. You don't have to overthink this, but you do want to reflect on it, because as a soul-led private practice owner, I want you to understand that there's so much more than the strategies and there's so much more than the tools. As a woman in private practice who embodies her spirituality, you know that a one-size-fits-all approach isn't going to fit all, and that it's not always about formulaic approaches to helping our clients. The evidence shows, as I've said, that above and beyond the actual strategy or intervention use is the relationship. And I know, just like you as a woman in private practice, it's those relationships, it's that connection, it's that trust, it's the rapport, it's the compassion, it's the kindness, it's the empathy, it's the pauses in the conversation that are going to help with that transformation that your client is seeking. there's always going to be a role for evidence-based approaches, of course, but it's also possible for you to start to affect change for clients in the work that you're doing without relying on those. And think about what might become available for you in your private practice if you are able to rely more on cultivating deeper relationships with clients and less on giving them handouts and workbooks and homework sheets and things like that. It's just something to think about. And this is going to be different for everybody in terms of your profession and how you practice and how you want to practice and which funding model you're operating under. But I want this episode to help you remember, because you knew this stuff before you started working in Medicare and WorkCover and TAC, right? You knew this stuff before then. You knew this stuff when you were studying at university. It's the relationship that's going to get you that transformation for your client. And if that's why you became a therapist, I want you to understand that it's okay to go back to that. And maybe it might mean that you're going to let go of working under some of those models that perhaps don't sit so well with you at this point in your practice. Now have a think about that. And if you want a sounding board to discuss what that might look like for you moving forward, then let me know. I always drop my email in the comments, so you can always have a bit of a conversation with me over email, and I'll do my very, very best to support you in making those sorts of decisions. I also have Just for Women, the private practice mentorship group, and you're always welcome to come and join that. Okay, it's for women who are in private practice who also value and are embodying their spirituality and understanding how important it is to do that inner work first so that you can start to experience a transformation in your private practice in what we call the external world. Okay, so if you'd like some information about that, of course, please visit my website or send me an email and I can get you some info. Okay, lovelies, it was so nice to be here again today and to have your company. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate it. If you have any topics around a soul-led private practice that haven't been covered yet that you would like some guidance around, please let me know and I'll be more than happy to record a podcast for you. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.